Have you ever thought about that while you're away, your home could be an Airbnb? I did. I actually bought two homes in Albuquerque that I Airbnb'd, and it was just an amazing investment, honestly, because, you know, as you are accruing value in your property, you are also making money on the Airbnbs. It's amazing. So your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have. It's an award-winning tequila. It's infused with real juice, with real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. It's real. So you need like two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail. Hey, you know how I'm always trying to keep my house parties exciting? New cocktails? Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's something that's going to flip the script.
Okay.
All right, 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Yeah. Tell me more about this, right? Oliver Hudson.
Yeah, 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila that's infused with juice from real fruits. You only need two to three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
Wait a minute. I think I know what brand you're talking about. You know why?
Yeah.
Because 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend. It's female founded.
That's right.
See?
Sounds
See
like
how I know? Something I can get behind.
I know. Well, there's a good story behind that for sure. Listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila. Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling rivalry.
No, no.
Sibling rivalry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling rivalry.
That's good. Ollie.
Kate, this is a big day for a lot of people. We are about to introduce an icon.
Yes. Actually, yes.
And this is one of my revel in it because I've been reveling.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I mean, for a long time.
Jenna Jameson. You is almost a huge part of your, I guess, like manhood.
Well, I mean, my life.
Well, now I'm really intrigued because I'm always sort of intrigued as to how people get into adult film industry and what sort of motivates them. And
yeah,
Jenna Jameson, I think, wasn't she the first one to kind of produce and
well, she was
own,
a pioneer, you
her
know what
own
I mean?
Videos, right?
She's I think she
actually made a real business out of it.
She's a businesswoman who said, all right, well, you know,
well
you're not going to take, you're not just going to take control of me. I'm not just for hire. Like, I know what my worth is. And I'm going to sort of capitalize on
that. Well, I'm excited to just learn about
learn.
Her life.
I'm pretending
and where
like
she
I
comes
know
from.
Everything, and I don't. Other than that, you know, I do admire and respect her.
She is of the time, really. You know, was such a big name. Like even the sort of crossover because I guess at that time it was VHS, wasn't it? So when she started, it wasn't like you had the sort of internet.
Yeah.
So there was really a few kind of like household
names.
There
were real stars. The industry obviously has changed tremendously.
All right. Well, I'm excited to
bring her on
to talk to Jenna.
I met her one time.
Oh, you did?
My bachelor party. Yeah.
Oh my God. Where in Vegas?
She won't remember. She won't remember. Yeah, it was in Vegas, and she was there, and I was like, just went up to her, I'm like, oh my God, like it's my bachelor party. I just want to say hello. Yeah, and I probably name dropped you. I definitely name drop. What's
Hi,
happening?
Nice to meet
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh my God, I love you.
We were just I know. We were just doing our little intro on you, and I was saying I actually met you. I had my bachelor party in Vegas, and I think you were with your first husband or something, and I was like, I have to go say hi. And I said hi and all that. But of course I name dropped Kate. because I read in a magazine, in Entertainment Weekly or something, that like, oh, Kate Hudson's one of my favorites.
Seriously, like fangirling.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I'm so excited to meet you and talk to you about your life. I'm sure it's, I mean, from the, on the outside looking in, it seems like it would be wild. And so I can't wait.
That's
and Oliver,
a great adjective.
Mm-hmm. We, Oliver and I, we have this thing for our show where we say we revel in it. And Oliver was like, I really want to bring on Jenna Jameson. And so I'm just excited to get to know a little bit about you.
Well, I read your first book. You know, nice. I know a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you
know, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
It was a lot. And then even more so, and we'll get into all this, but you know, you're an icon in the sense, not that you were just an adult film actress, but you knew your worth in the industry and right. said, fuck off, basically. You're not just going to use me for what I can do. I'm going to monetize and capitalize on my business sense, and I'm going right. to own my shit, right? And you were one
they
of the
really
first people to do
that. They weren't used
to
that sort of thing in my right. industry. And I saw an opening for a woman that had some sort of IQ, and I applied that, and it worked. I was shocked, to be honest. I didn't think I was going to go very far because I had so many parameters and rules and regulations to what I would do on film. And to my surprise, they agreed to it. Mm-hmm. They gave me what I demanded. And I think it set precedent for a lot of girls in the industry that were the commodity, were the important ones, and you do what you're comfortable with. And mm-hmm. everything falls in line thereafter.
Also, the adult film industry must be so radically different now than it was 20 years ago.
I don't even know what it's like anymore. Yeah. You know, I sometimes get girls that message me and they're like, well, what would you do in this instance? And I'm like, it's out of my realm of thinking. I don't even understand everything that they're having to do now. It's just mm-hmm. a different day and age.
It must have been a really small community, and now sort of globally, it's probably just like...
Well, I mean, the advent of just the technology, you know, webcams, you know, now porn is watched in little bites, you know what I mean? There's no longer stories and themes and large productions, and, you know, which was fun, you know what I mean?
It's easy to become a star nowadays, like back in my day, back in the... Stone Age, you had to have charisma and acting skills and be competent in interviews. Now there is no place for that. So, I mean, there's something to be said for it. And I love that a lot of girls are capable of doing it without having to, you know, jump through the hoops I jumped through. But I miss the days of there being polish.
Yeah. No, I know. Now you get on OnlyFans and someone can make $1 million in a month.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I mean, God bless them. I swear, like if that was around in my day, I don't even know how my career would have panned out. You know, because when I was working, there was a very small pool of women that were capable of doing what I was doing. Now, it's just so watered down that it pretty much changed all of porn altogether. Mm-hmm. So it's sad in a way for me because I don't know. I felt like I'm going to turn this into like more like the movies, like real movies. Mm-hmm. And now it's just different. And, you know, it's just the way the world works now.
Yeah.
Well, can we start from the beginning for those who are discovering Jenna Jameson on our podcast? Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Las Vegas.
Oh, so you're a Vegas
original Sin City girl.
That's right. And you're Italian, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah. My real name's Jenna Mazzoli.
Yeah.
Oh, you're Mazzoli.
Mazzoli.
I know. Mazzoli.
And they're like, you're Italian?
That is very Italian.
Mazzoli.
Mazzoli.
Jenna Maria Mazzoli.
and was your upbringing, was it like a traditional upbringing? Was it, did you have a good relationship with your family, your parents? Were your mom and dad together?
starting from the beginning, I was raised by my father. My mother passed away when I was 2 from cancer. And my dad was a fantastic father. He allowed me a lot, but also had a lot of rules for me. So I grew up like having worth. And my father was a police officer. So, you know, I had to act right. So right. I was really good in school. I was a cheerleader. Everything that you would expect from someone that looks like me. And then right around my sophomore year in high school, I started turning into a hot chick. Like I went from like nobody ever looked at me to everybody was like, wow, look at Jenna. She's different now. So I was like, okay, how do I capitalize on that? I guess that's how my mind has always worked. So I thought, wow, I've got these great boobs and they're brand new. Let's do this. So I started stripping.
Mm-hmm. So how old were you when you started stripping?
Well, it wasn't legal. I will say that. Mm-hmm. But I was always 10 years ahead in my brain. Right. So that never even deterred me at all. I just thought about the money and how I would compound upon that. I was like, this is a good jumping off point. Now, that is not a good jumping off point for everybody out there. Like, it's not the same anymore. So I was just able to turn it into something big. And for a lot of people out there, this is something that would kind of, it could ruin you easily nowadays. I just knew how to catapult myself out of just being a porn star into being a personality. Mm-hmm.
So you went from stripping, and then what was that? When were you approached?
Wasn't your dad pretty supportive of all this?
Well,
Maybe I got that wrong. I kind of remember in the book.
I kept my father in the dark because I was kind of the golden child. He was like, you know, my daughter, she's so smart and she's so pretty and capable. And I remember going and trying out at the Crazy Horse 2 here in Las Vegas and my dad not knowing. And I finally, once I got the job, and I was like, I was making tens of thousand dollars a night, and I was in high school. Mm-hmm. He started looking at me like, Jenna, what's going on? And I finally just sat down and said, Dad, okay, this is what I'm doing. And I've always been so level-headed that my dad looked at it like, listen, if you're going to do this, because he knew he couldn't stop me. Mm-hmm. If he said, if you're going to do this, I want you to keep your head on straight, you know, no drugs, no running around, no all hours of the night with different men. I just want you to handle your business and you go to school. Mm-hmm. So I was going to school it during the day. Amazing. And stripping at night.
It's amazing.
So then, okay. So how were you approached? Like, were you approached by someone for adult film? Was it something that you got into?
I remember being on stage and a girl was watching me, and she wasn't watching me like a normal customer. She was like really looking at me. And after I got off stage, she approached me and said, Jenna, you know, you have something really special. I would love to photograph you. So I was like, well, what kind of photographs? Like, what are we talking about here? And she was like, yeah, there's a lot of openings for like adult magazines. And I was like, okay, let's go, you know, because I knew that was another stepping stone towards stardom. That's what I thought in my young head. And so I just started doing nudie magazines. And I think my first magazine was Penthouse. So. Mm-hmm.
What was your dream? Like, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a ballerina, a showgirl. like my mother. My mother was a Las Vegas showgirl. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I never got the height.
Rude. Do you remember your first sort of, now was there ever, well, let me go back a little bit. Was there ever a moment where you felt like, you know, as a woman, you know, I know that for me, I'm trying to empathize or put myself in your shoes of sort of being so outwardly open and with your body and sexual, you know, was there ever a moment where you were like, I don't like the way this feels, or am I going too far? You know, like if I cross over into this, is that like, does it just get crazier and crazier and crazier? Right. Like, did you ever have that?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. I think that would be a normal feeling for most people. But for me, I had gone through some pretty terrible situations when I was younger. And I always felt like I needed to take that power back. My sexuality, my body. I didn't want anybody else to be exploiting it. So I felt by me being the one saying, okay, I choose to do this. I choose to, it was under my control. So I, you know, through years of therapy, I realized that I did that in order to take it back from the people that had taken it from me when I was younger. So
it's interesting because sometimes
it's kind of dark.
It's dark, but it's
process.
Yeah, but it's interesting because sometimes when people go through the things that you might have gone through, they spiral into a place and feel, you know, less empowered, where you used it almost your sexuality to empower you in a sense.
Right. And also, you know, with writing my book, I was able to explain, because, you know, throughout my whole career, I've had a lot of feminists that are like, you know, you're adding to this, you're feeding the beast. And I was able to explain that this is a way of empowering myself. And I think that put things into perspective for a lot of women out there that have gone through the same thing, and they see a different avenue than just saying, okay, I'm going to find God and shut everything down and not be myself. Mm-hmm. I embraced who I was, and I hit the gas pedal.
Yeah.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah. So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of
you
parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge and you get home from work and you just want to drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female founded.
Yes. I love a female founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So.
Two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb, and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day.
That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
It's funny when you talk about when people talk about sexuality, and especially the adult film industry and the sex industry, it can be very complicated because obviously there's a lot of women in the sex industry that they've either been forced in there or by circumstance. It's very dark.
Yes.
Circumstances. So it does become kind of that
especially more
challenging
now.
Yeah, yes. It's but there is also room for women who really enjoy
right.
the process of being a part of, you know, an adult film yeah. or dancing. So it's I think that's why it's always so polarizing.
It really is, because I think from an outsider's perspective, you automatically look at women in my industry as victims. Like something had to have happened in order mm-hmm. for a woman to do this. And on some level, everything we do is because of what's happened to us, right? So I knew that I was going to be hit with, you know, you're a victim, you've been traumatized, and this is your coping mechanism. And when I wrote my book, it was so important to me to show how I was able to heal by taking it back, by controlling everything, because I am a control freak. Mm-hmm. So I was in control of who was hired, who I worked with, the producers, the companies I was contracted with, all that. I had a hand in absolutely everything. So I thought by showing that and, you know, talking about it in my book, that it would give kind of a guide to girls that it's not wrong to do these things. You just have to stay true to who you are and what you're comfortable with. Mm-hmm. So when people come to me and say, oh, you know, it's so sad what you went through and what happened. It's so important for me to let people know that these are my choices and I'm comfortable with it. And as long as I'm comfortable with it, that's all that matters. So. Mm-hmm.
What were your parameters? What was the kind of, you know,
girl,
like if
I
you were doing
wider.
A contract, there was a lot.
I mean, my big thing was that I had a list of very few people I would work with. For a very huge amount of my career, I only worked with my partners, and which was about two or three. That I went from relationship to relationship as a young girl. So, and I would only have a certain amount of people on set. It would be just the cameraman, the sound guy, and that's it. So it felt more intimate and less, I don't know. Contrary to popular belief, I am a very introverted person. So it took everything I had to do what I did. So I kept closed sets. I okayed all the scripts. A lot of the scripts I wrote. I wanted everything to feel very personal. And that helped me to be able to do it and come across like I was actually enjoying it, because mm-hmm. to me, there was nothing worse than watching a movie
yeah.
and you can just tell
oh,
that
yeah.
she's somewhere else.
Right.
And you know,
well, I was going to ask you that actually. Why do you think you became such a massive star and an icon in this industry? Like, wow. Why do you think you did? What's the special sauce, so to speak?
Yeah, I think that it was a lot of timing. Mm-hmm. The industry was ready for someone like me, but I also was really myself. When I worked, you could tell I was enjoying what I was doing. And there was just a connection. You know, I've grown and I've, you know, grown into a woman and changed. I'm a mother, all those kind of things. And now I look back at it like it's a different person. But at that time, I really put forth who I was. And people connected to that, you know. I think that because I had so many rules, you really got who I was from, with the movies that I put out. It was me for sure. Because I okayed the scripts. I was like, I'm not saying that. So,
yeah.
And did you enjoy being like an object of fantasy for like a random person walking down? They see you and they're like, oh, she is my fantasy.
Like, that always
like without the person out, without any connection, and because it is sort of like you look, it's just a, it becomes sort of like a, the connection obviously is something that you don't know, but
right. But yeah. I mean,
was that something you actually enjoyed?
Level, the surface level, I really liked it because I was always such an ugly duckling growing up. I was very awkward and I was like the smart girl. So it was nice to be like wanted, like people look at me like, wow. But I always felt very disconnected from that. So for me, it was, I just loved that I was going into an industry that women were looked at for the surface. And I was going to change that. I wanted people to look at this, to look at my movies, read my literature, all those things. And I wanted them to be like, wow, there's so much more to this girl. So I know a lot of women in the industry, obviously, and they always have so much more to offer. And they're not given the, you know, any chance to show that beyond their body.
So. Yeah.
What was your, so you went, you did the magazines, but do you remember like a, when it transitioned into on screen? Like was that, what was that moment?
Vividly. I remember a few magazines had come out and I was contacted fairly quickly, like within days of my magazines coming out by Randy West.
Oh yeah. Up and comers.
Really dating myself here, but
no, I remember it was the Up and Comers series.
Up and Comers. Look at you.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Oliver. And, Oliver's.
And, it was the Up and Comers series. Yeah. I know.
It was great. I didn't realize at the time, like how important that was going to be.
It was. Yeah.
I love that you know it.
Oh, of course. That guy was such a weird looking dude too. Like
Ollie and not had, very secretly probably knows all of your work. So
obsessed with you, Ollie. Well,
the thing about Randy West was he had the weirdest dick too. It was like
Oliver.
It was a weird, he was always so tan. He looked like he lived on Venice Beach in the 80s.
It was total like 70s vibe.
Yeah.
It was 70s vibe.
Yeah.
I definitely had to disconnect on some level.
No, I know. Well, I already knew the question when I asked it because honestly, and this is me being a fan, like it's so obvious why you became a star just even from that first scene. Because it's funny you say that how disconnected you were, but you were so not, as perception goes, of what everyone is watching. You know, you can't help but look at that scene and be like, holy shit, like who is that person? You know?
Yeah. It's a lot of people say that to me and I'm still pretty disconnected from that because I don't feel my own star quality. I just kind of do what feels natural and it worked out for me. It definitely worked out for me, but I remember going into those scenes with him.
How was that? Like
just scared shitless.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, okay, Jenna, turn it on.
Yeah.
Turn it on. And I
God, I'm so, I can't even imagine.
Don't watch it. Okay, what? Please.
I just can't even imagine what that must feel like. Like
Well, it's such an iconic scene.
Talk about really jumping off a cliff.
It's an iconic scene. So, like, I'm so fascinated, like, especially being your first one with this weird dude who's all orange and tan, yeah, you know, with a cheesy little mustache. And you're like,
she just said, yeah.
Yeah. But it's like, I was like,
I got to prove something right now. I'm going to show people what I'm
That's
made
what
of.
I'm saying in this weird little room.
And I think that I don't know how much I can say, but the scene became so iconic because there were multiple finishes.
Uh huh.
Oh.
So, and nobody had really seen that before.
Right.
And I was pretty shocked, to be honest. I was right. like, oh, you know, but, you know, it, I knew after those few scenes, cause I had done, a girl, girl, what we call girl, girl, and then did, you know, a boy, girl with him. And after that boy, girl, I was like, I think I found my niche. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I might be good at this. And because at first it was the only reason why I did it was obviously like the money was insane, mm-hmm. what he paid me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, this isn't going to be that big of a deal. It's kind of like a one-time thing. And then I realized, hey, this could be big. I could like catapult myself through this, because the minute I did that movie, I was approached to become a contract girl with Wicked Pictures mm-hmm. and Vivid Video. So I was like, oh my gosh, I could become a really big star in this industry. And then from that, I could, you know, write it into mainstream. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. in my day, everything was dependent on your mainstream merge.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I had it in me to host something or be in movies. I never thought I was that great of an actress, but I was like, you know, let me try. Mm-hmm. So from there, I ended up getting scouted by the E! Channel and hosting a show called Wild On mm-hmm. for that.
Right. And then you were on with Stern.
Yeah, Stern.
And you did private parts.
That was so much fun. Yeah. Like Howard was pivotal.
Yeah, he's like my idol. I fucking love him so much. I still listen to him every day.
So many people don't really realize what kind of a man he is, because on camera he's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's just such an angel. He's such
he's so lovely.
I remember first meeting him and being on his show and him taking me aside afterwards and saying, you have it
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And I so wasn't used to anybody helping me that when he said that, I was just like, you know, wow, like I am now dedicated to this person.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on his show. I don't even know how many times after that. And then he put me in his movie
And then after the scene, after the up and comers like Randy West scene, when that was all done, was there a feeling of I can fucking do this? Or was there any like drop in depression of sort of like, holy fuck, what did I just do?
Oh no, there was no going back.
You were like, you lit the fuse.
Yeah, she just said it. I was like,
all I could think of was I'm going to dominate this industry.
Yeah, I was just about to ask that. Like, did you have this motivation of like, holy shit, wait a minute. I'm not just this one scene wonder. I can fucking take over this industry.
Yeah, essentially what you did. I remember the dialogue in my brain. I hated the fact that it was so male ruled. It was mm-hmm. ruled by men. And I wanted to change that. I was like, let me at this. And I'll start small and mm-hmm. I will. And, you know, I ended up owning my own company and having my own contract girls and changing things for girls. You know, the first movies I did in comparison to the movies I produced with other women as my contract girls, it's night and day. So
and how much
I felt like I was able to do what I set out to do. And that was to, you know, give some sort of validity.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah. So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge when you get home from work and you just want a drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female-founded.
Yes. I love a female-founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So.
Two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
And how much did the patriarchy of this industry sort of push against you trying to be what you became?
Big.
Big, right?
Big.
And but, how did you face that? What did you do? You just kept punching, basically.
Listen, I'm a pretty formidable person.
Yeah.
And I remember having meetings with, you know, big time people and just steamrolling, you know, because I understood the back end of it.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I knew what I had to do. I held true to my beliefs and I conquered it. And then once I had started, like the mainstream started knocking, then I had all the power.
Right.
Then I was like, okay, for me to do a movie, it's this much money. And it was unheard of in my business.
Then were you the pioneer of sort of owning having your own contract girls and, you know, being separate from sort of the bigger conglomerates?
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing is there were companies obviously that had contract girls prior to me coming on the scene. But it just was a different dynamic. I made demands that were unheard of. I remember writing contracts and putting things in just to test the waters, just to see, will they agree to this? And they did.
Mm.
And that kind of set the stage for all the girls that came after me.
So great.
Was there anyone that you looked up to, like when you started in the industry that you were like, oh, I like the way she's handled her career in adult film? Or was there no one that had that at the time?
No. I mean, I really was flying blind. I mean, there were contract girls that were absolutely stunning. I remember, you know, seeing people like Janine and a few of the Vivid Janine girls and just thinking, they're just incredible. These women are incredible. And I love their power and how they come across. Mm-hmm. But nobody was negotiating contracts the way I knew I could, because I had a business mind and nobody expected it. Like I took them by surprise. So I realized pretty early on that I had the looks. I was able to be a contract girl caliber looks wise, but they just didn't know what was underneath, mm-hmm. which was a pretty shrewd business mind.
So when did it start to kind of, when did you start to look at your career and go, it might be time to
hang it up,
like put it aside? Was it, you know, and also as a second part to that question, I mean, obviously looks and physicality and body image and all of those things, you know, did you feel the pressure to have to maintain that, keep that up? And, you know, what has the aging process been like throughout? Oh, a longer podcast.
Okay. For your first question, I'm a gut person where I just kind of knew what I needed to do and I never second guessed myself. So, but when it came to looks and all of that, there was incredible pressure. Obviously, it's kind of just like the modeling world. You have to, you know, especially as a contract girl, you have to stay in shape. And it always, luckily enough, came pretty natural to me because I was young and active and all those kind of things. So, and I didn't work often. I mean, in my contracts, I think I would work 4 times a year. So wow. It wasn't a huge amount of work.
Right.
Most of my work was just being on the road promoting mm-hmm. all the stuff that I was doing. Yeah. So, I feel that I was incredibly blessed. Like all the timing was very right for mm-hmm. me. And I don't know if it could ever be emulated because it was the right time. I was the right girl. I made the right decisions and it worked out. Thank God, mm-hmm. you know, and I think an interesting part of this whole thing is that a lot of people ask me, like, how did you transition out? Like you said, I spent a long time proving myself to be worth more than just being a beautiful body. I was able to gain traction in the mainstream world when it came to, you know, being able to use my brain. So thank God I saw that in the beginning, that I had to establish that, and people could count on me. I was smart and I showed up. I was never late, and I handled business. And now that, you know, life has happened, children have happened, relationships have happened. Now I'm kind of, it's come full circle now. And I'm like back and it feels good. I don't know. Life is just funny.
That's well, amazing. You had some health stuff. I mean, you had really serious health stuff.
But I want to wrap up this part of your life because I want to get into that. I'm so fascinated by what the fuck happened. You know, crazy.
Me too.
But first of all, once you left and hung up the cleat, so to speak, was there anything that you missed? Is there anything that you sort of, you know, longed for in the industry?
When it came to porn?
Yeah. Or once you hung them up, you're like, oh, I'm done. This is it.
No, okay. I was so ready.
Good.
And, you know, my dad always told me, if you get an inkling that something, like it's just not sitting right, mm-hmm. get out.
Yeah.
Don't let it play out. And I felt like my career had kind of run its course, and it's important to go out when you're on top.
Yeah.
Don't let things wind down. So I think it's kind of a famous moment when I went up on the AVN Awards and said, I will never spread my legs in this industry.
Yeah. All right.
And I meant it.
Yeah.
I was done. I was finished. And it was so shocking to people that I was at the pinnacle of my career.
Yeah.
And I loved that idea of like being a superstar and saying, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And moving on.
Did you, when you did your last scene, did you know it was your last scene?
Yes.
You did.
I did.
Wow.
I
did.
And I mean, it was like every day for me.
Yeah.
It was whatever. Like, let me get this done. Let me show them what they're going to miss.
Yeah.
And I just walked off set and I was just like, ha. Ah,
peace.
I'm done. You know,
okay,
and I don't know. I love being like the master of my own destiny. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I do what I say and I say what I do. So
one more question. Then we're going to the back half of your life so far. What's the story of the heartbreaker tattoo? How did that happen? It's like,
what's
probably
the heartbreaker tattoo
on her tush. It's like the most iconic tattoo in porn.
Oh. It's on your tushy.
On her right cheek.
It's on the butt.
Yeah. And it's like, it's, you know, it's again, an iconic tattoo.
It is. I didn't think it would be iconic.
Right.
I had no clue because I was very young when I got it. Shouldn't have been getting a tattoo, but leave that up to me. My dad, all my life, said to me, Jenna, you're going to be a heartbreaker.
Mm.
And I never really understood what that meant. I was just like, oh, it's like my little moniker. And I got it when I was in my teens. And it was just kind of what I was known for was being a little heartbreaker. And I don't think it was about breaking boys' hearts. It was more like I just kind of went against the grain all my life. I was like, I just did what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And it broke hearts.
Yeah. So. Amazing.
Well, let's get into what's been happening now in your life. I mean, you know, when you decided to retire from adult films, then would you take a break? I mean, did you, what did you start to do?
Right. It's kind of a hard transition because once you're known for that, it's really hard to like be known for anything else. And mm-hmm. and I don't think you really can. And I realize that now because I'll forever be Jenna Jameson. And I really just wanted to have a normal life, as normal as I could. So I decided I was going to have like get married and have children and try to live a very easy mom lifestyle.
And were you able to accomplish that? I mean,
I'm not successful with men.
Well, you don't need to be anymore. You found the love of your life.
Right. Oh, yeah. My picker is really broken when it comes to men. I mean, I should have done that from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I got married and realized, okay, wait, that's not a good idea. Divorced. Then got with Tito Ortiz, who, he's special. And he's the father of my twins. And my boys are absolutely amazing. They're just fantastic kids. And they're big boys now. Mm-hmm. And horribly, that relationship didn't work out. And then, you know, my life is like... it's like a book.
or a couple of them.
Right. Right? I need to get writing.
It's time for another book, I think.
But yeah, I just like, once that happened, it. I was like, well, maybe I am gay. Because that's always been in the back of my mind. Like, am I just with men because I want children? That was like my main driving force was I wanted my babies. I wanted to be a mother. I've always been really maternal. So once that fell apart, I was like, well, I mean, I've got to start looking inside and am I gay? So I dated a few girls and I was like, oh, okay, this is awesome. I love this. And then that maternal thing came knocking again. And I'm like, well, maybe Tito just wasn't the right guy for me. And ended up, you know, with my daughter's father. And it was a beautiful experience. I got a taste of so many different things culture-wise. He's Israeli. So in order to have a Jewish baby, the mom has to be Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
It's maternal, which is beautiful.
Right.
So I converted. So that was like a year-long study because I converted Orthodox.
Wow.
So you
were practicing Orthodox?
Absolutely. You have to practice for a year before they will even consider you to convert. So I had to live the full lifestyle.
Wow.
It was not easy.
That is not difficult at all.
But I accomplished it. And my baby was born, little Jewish princess.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think really it didn't come down to the religion that was important to me for her. It was more citizenship in Israel. Mm-hmm. Because if you're born Jewish, you automatically get citizenship in Israel. So her father, his whole family lives there. And I wanted her to have that choice.
Mm.
So that's really where it kind of stemmed, is I wanted my child to have every opportunity. So yeah, wow. it was a trippy, really enlightening experience. Yeah.
Amazing though. Educational. I mean, whatever happens, happens. But even going through that, you've done something that most people have never done or experienced, you know.
In more ways than one.
Presented by 21 Seeds.
Ollie.
Yeah, so you know, because you have a ton of friends and you throw a lot of parties.
Yeah.
You don't really. I mean, you've got your core group of friends.
I do throw a lot of
you
parties.
You do throw a lot of parties.
I love a party.
You need a signature cocktail that's ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's also actually nice to have a signature cocktail that's ready to go when you don't have a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just nice to have something in your fridge and you get home from work and you just want a drink.
This is true.
But you know why I like this brand of tequila?
Let me guess. Can I guess?
Yes.
Female-founded.
Yes. I love a female-founded spirit because there aren't that many of us.
I know. And 21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easiest margaritas ever. They're smooth. They're fresh. They taste amazing. And they're not too sweet.
No.
I do not like sweet.
They're not overly sweet.
Yeah. And they're infused with real juice.
Yes. I love women. I love supporting women. So
two sisters, one friend.
Listen, if you love tequila, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
It's a fun time of year because everybody's starting to gear up. You've got spring break happening soon. You've got summer happening soon. Everybody's thinking about their vacations. My number one source for where I might even go in the world, Airbnb. I've got spring break. I'm shooting. I only have 4 days. Where am I going to go? I go on Airbnb and that usually is like, oh, there's a good house. I love that. Let's stay there. If you are someone who travels a lot or even has an empty room in your house, consider hosting on Airbnb. It's a lot easier than you might think, and it's also a great way to make some extra income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So what happened with your with the health issues? Because I know I remember seeing something about it on one of the those magazines.
Yeah, I mean, I've read it on it too. Where 9 months in the fucking hospital, no one knows what's going on. You're like, I'm out of here.
Well, how did you end up in the hospital in the first place?
Okay, so it all started like I just started collapsing. And I had no idea why, like just lost all mobility and was collapsing in the shower. And finally, I was alone and I had to call an ambulance because I couldn't get up. And went to the hospital and they ran literally hundreds of tests. Spinal taps, CAT scans, MRIs, all the things. And they couldn't put their finger on it. And they kept diagnosing me with something different. And I don't know if you, I'm sure you understand that, like when they give you a diagnosis that is kind of a death sentence, it kind of, it messes you up. Like I checked out. When they initially diagnosed me with Guillain-Barré, and that is a death sentence. And it was incredibly frightening. And I lived with that diagnosis for about a month and a half in the hospital. And they were giving me all these treatments, IVIG, all these different infusions and everything. And my cell count wasn't getting better. So they were like, well, maybe that's not the problem. And I'm like, wait, there's a possibility of me not having it. And thank God I didn't have that. So they started running another battery of tests and came to a few conclusions. I had very elevated white blood cell counts, a lot of just odd things in my blood. And so I just continued with physical therapy in the hospital and just trying to put my finger on what was happening. Finally, after months, they said, well, we can't figure out what is happening. What's going on with you? So they thought that it could be something called conversion syndrome, where it's kind of a mental issue where your brain converts like problematic thinking into physical symptoms. Mm. And I was like, okay, so how do we cure this? Is there a cure for this? And they said, no, this is just the way it is. And you have to like have therapy and do all these different things. And that's when I kind of said to myself, I need to take the reins back. I don't tell everybody, I don't think people should not listen to their doctors, but sometimes you just really have to trust your gut. And I just didn't feel like things were happening correctly. So I broke myself out of the hospital in a wheelchair and put myself in a taxi and I went home. And I started at-home physical therapy, eating right, getting my mental health back. And slowly but surely, I've come back to life.
Is this before Jesse?
Yes.
Okay. So who did you, what was your support system at the time?
I had no support system.
You were solo. You were
basically
alone.
When I came home from the hospital, my ex left. So I came home to an empty home.
Oh my gosh.
So that wasn't easy mentally, but I'm obviously a pretty strong girl. And I just knew that I had two choices, to live or to die. And I wanted to live. So I put my mind to it. And during that journey back to good mental health, I met Jesse. And we just became friends. And I mean, don't get me wrong. I was like, I want to bag this chick.
Right.
I just love everything that she...
Where did you guys meet?
Well, she's pretty famous on TikTok. So yeah. At the time I was alone and I was watching a lot of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I really like her viewpoint on things. Like she pulls no punches. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like that. I just say it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, we would be a good team. So I just started like leaving comments, mm-hmm. you know, like, hey, and sooner or later she noticed and was like, who's, because my moniker is Jenna Can't Lose, mm-hmm. on social media. And she was like, who's this Jenna Can't Lose? And she went to my site and was like,
oh,
that's Jenna Jameson. So, yeah. So that's how it all started. And, at the time I was like headstrong into holistic treatments because I had kind of sworn off hospitals and doctors. And my best friend here in Las Vegas owns a wellness company. And he was like, you know what, let's try the holistic approach and see if your body responds. And I started doing hyperbaric treatments and NAD treatments,
yeah,
which is like an infusion of vitamins and everything. It pushes toxins out. And
it's gnarly. It's good though. I did that for anxiety.
Yeah. It's amazing. And I started seeing myself come back to life because they were doing these brain scans. And my first brain scan, my brain was like black. And I'm like,
I'm gonna do a brain scan.
Am I truly dead inside? So after every treatment, you could see my brain sparking and coming back to life, like reds and greens and blues. And I think being able to see the process happening.
Yeah.
It gave me like,
yeah, I mean, it makes it real, right? It's like you see it and you're like, oh, it makes it much more, mm-hmm. much more real. Yeah. I'm so glad we should start wrapping this up, but I'm so glad that you were able to get your, especially just your mental health, you know, in a better place because
it's so important. And to people out there that kind of push their needs aside and ignore it. It manifests. It's mm-hmm. so important to take care of your brain and feel comfortable because you'll end up sick. So,
yeah.
And are you back? I mean, are you fully healthy? Or, you know, I mean,
I am. Yeah. I'm on my feet. I'm walking unaided, which I never thought it was going to happen again. You know, I was with a walker for a long time. And
are you
now
able to work out?
Yeah, it's great. So funny.
Amazing.
Well, not funny, but it's for a long time I had such numb spots and now I can feel everything.
That's crazy.
I remember things, and that's a part of the mental health issue is that I'm the kind of person that if I am struggling, I black out on major instances in my life. So everything has come into full color for me again. And I feel like I have it in me and it's just exciting to be back.
Yeah. Yay. And what's the plan? What's the future?
Well, I have, I have one, but for me, I really want to ask you, like, you know, what is one thing like in your life, your career? And it's again, all of that like preconceived notion of how people see you and what they want from you and the kinds of questions that you get, including the questions we're asking you. But what is the one thing you wish people would ask you? Like, is there anything that you wish you would get more of?
Or that someone would know about you that they don't?
Well, you know, I've always been such an open book. I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. But I, for me, it really is the connection, the female connection, that I'm able to kind of make a difference to other women that are going through so many things. I like for them to be able to look at me as, you know, a cautionary tale, like this is what could happen and this is what could happen. Mm-hmm. So I am an open book. I just want to show everybody out there that no matter how hard it gets, there's always a way back.
Yay, Jenna.
So great. Oh,
thank you for sharing with us.
Well, I've always loved you, but now I think I'm in love with you. Don't tell Jesse.
And I won't tell your wife.
Don't tell my wife. Although she's in love with you too.
Well, I adore both of you. Thank you so much for having me.
This was a blast.
This is the kind of thing that fills me up. Like to know that there are people that care, and I appreciate you.
Well, you're such a force, and I was so excited to talk to you, you know, because of just what you've been through, what you've accomplished. You know, people might look at the industry that you were in and think, oh, it's just that, but you were a true pioneer. You know, you were a businesswoman, and you were able, again, like I said, to know your worth and capitalize on that in an industry that is just sort of dominated by men. So
absolutely true.
It's very cool. It's very cool.
But I love you both.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, Jenna Jameson.
She's like the greatest.
I really, that was so.
What a woman. What a woman.
Well, no, but it is, you know, I just think, you know, let's just use this.
I mean,
it's just so male. This is so male.
No,
just,
it's not, because of course, yes, but she's so smart and cool.
I know, but what I want to say is, what I want to say is like, I love interviewing her because I think there's so many people out in the world that just don't even give it a chance, mm-hmm, because mm-hmm. they just look so down on the industry, right. on the sex industry and adult filmmaking. And but like I think the most important thing is to just get to the heart of who somebody is.
Well, you said it really well. You said, look, obviously, especially nowadays where pornography, the content, there's so much of it and everyone's looking for new, that these girls are definitely exploited. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, really, I mean, it's sad and dark shit.
It was a different time back then. Yeah. I think you had much more of a choice, although I'm sure there was some dark shit going on
as
well.
A lot of it.
You know, but you said that, but at the same time, Jenna sort of knew, you know, what she was doing. She seemed to be fully in control. You know, my choice.
Right. And as controlled as she could be. I mean, clearly she even said, like, you know, the cautionary tale, but then look what can happen. Then look what can happen. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that, you know, I think there's owning your choices, but also just really getting to understand like what someone went through in order to end up in that position, mm-hmm. you know, that you didn't have to come from the most fucked up family mm-hmm. to be an adult film star, right. That she had a cop as a dad and she was an, you know, a smart student and she just was like, I'm going to dance. Like, I, you know, so it didn't come from a place of
her book. You should honestly read it. It's kind of
really
great.
Interesting. I really, and she's so kind and sweet. And I
want to make a movie called Jenna. I mean, I think it's time. Her whole upbringing, she started dancing and the thing. Her story is fucking incredible.
Yeah, so there's a lot of adult film star stories who are incredible. I mean, Tracy Lord's story is unbelievable.
No, I know.
And also another iconic adult film star, but a very like more tragic story.
I don't think you get bigger than Jenna Jameson.
No,
you just don't. Like, we just interviewed, you know, like the Marlon Brando of porn, or like the Meryl Streep of porn. Or
what about Ron Jeremy though?
He's in jail.
Oh,
actually, they took him out of jail because he's got complete. He was found not fit to stand trial.
Oh,
because he was going to go to. I mean, he was like, you know, raping in bathrooms, all fucking crazy. Oh, yeah, I mean, he was nuts.
Oh, Jesus!
You should see a picture of that guy. He looks insane.
Ooh. Oh God!
But he's got dementia. He's got Alzheimer's. He's got everything, and now he's just going to die in some home. He's not.
Yeah. Well.
Well, whatever. He had a huge schlong.
Oh,
big beefsteak.
What have I gotten myself into?
This is great.
Listen, I
the Randy West stuff too. This,
I feel like I'm just.
I mean, I knew it all. I knew what she was going to say. I didn't want to. I was going to say. So your first scene was Randy West, up and comers. I didn't want to say it, but I knew it. Oh, such a Scott.
Listen. I love you, Oliver.
I'm reveling in it.
Obviously.
I'm reveling in it as we should on these revelings.
But I will say, Ollie, you were really sweet and you really did. Like, it was really amazing to get to know how strong she was in the industry.
Yeah.
And like how, I mean, talk about.
That was fun.
Talk about a challenging thing to be able to do.
Yeah.
In that
she's just tough as nails.
That was fun.
Beat that reveling next week. Huh? Who are you bringing?
I don't know, probably someone who's like, you know, we'll meditate with.
well
it's like Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Next week, the Dalai Lama.
That's not a bad idea to do Mikhail Baryshnikov.
That should be one of your revels.
I would
in
love
it.
To do
That's
that.
That's a great idea.
I would love to do him as a revel in it.
That's a great idea.
Oh, all right. All right. Love you.
I love you too. Bye.
Bye.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.